Your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4, we'll read verses 12 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous be scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our great country. God, as I woke this morning and began praying, I wondered how many men lost their lives, many thousands and hundreds of thousands even, that died and went to hell for this country. Father, those of us in this room that have heaven as our home should be ashamed that we're unwilling even sometimes to walk across the street to tell someone about you. Father, please be with our preacher, filling with your power. Change our hearts, change our homes, change our state, change our country. May we be used to change our world, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Yesterday, our church here celebrated a little picnic, which is an annual event here at the church. And we call it the 4th of July picnic, and it's a summer picnic, and we had a good time. If you came on the property or even drove by the property, you would have seen it. It was delightful, exciting, enjoyable, entertaining, bright, and cheery. Oh, somewhere near 400 people came out yesterday to fellowship. We had what they call moonwalks. We had three of them out here. Mrs. Ramsey's expecting a baby, and she's ready to have that baby. And I said, Mrs. Ramsey, if we just get you in that moonwalk, we could get this thing over with. We had a dunk tank out there, and I've seen one of the Englishes here. Brother and Mrs. English are on vacation, but Brother English's son, he teased about wanting to get in that dunk tank, and then I tried to get him in there, and he was a big chicken and wouldn't do it. We had a big slide out here, and Mrs. Shepherd, I told Mrs. Shepherd I was going to make it so she could get on that slide if she wanted to, and she wouldn't take me up on it. But we played some soccer. Boys had a soccer game out here, and there was some volleyball, some softball, some fun music. We had a sing-along. What a delightful atmosphere. It was colorful. It was delicious. It was encouraging. On more than one occasion, I examined the crowd, and to be honest, I was smiling. Every once in a while, I would have to fight back a tear or two, because amidst all the bright, bombastic fun were people who were suffering. While you had painted a smile on your face, I thought, how admirable. Here they are, having a good time, enjoying their day, but I know that behind that smile there are some broken hearts. I stopped, and in the privacy of my heart, more than one time yesterday, I examined you, and I hurt for you. And I thought of how proud I was of you, because some of you are hurting, and you are struggling. And while we were all entertaining one another and having a good time, I hurt for you. I looked at a lady who had a big smile on her face, whose husband has recently hurt her. A family who's being treated rudely because They're a part of our church, and they're being loyal. I looked at a family that struggles with a handicapped child, and I hurt for them. A lady whose body is wrapped with cancer. A man who has cancer, and nobody in our church even knows it because he has chosen that no one know. I thought then of the lives that were lost and the families that were hurt because of wars that had to be fought that we could have a thing called independence. You see, peace comes after war.
Right.
And I thank God and thought of the heartache and the pain. I looked at one family that this year had lost a loved one, and I know they're still hurting. A family that has suffered because a child has broken their heart and is rebelling. I looked at a teenager who it seems like mom and dad don't understand their desire to serve the Lord and are actually becoming a burden to that teenager. I looked at someone who, because of their own sin, had hurt themselves. And they're trying to rebuild their life. And folks, I want you to know that even when we do it to ourselves, the pain and the heartache and the suffering is still real. And if it's self-inflicted or if it's life-inflicted, suffering is so real. I looked at a man with an illness that nobody knows about, smiling and having a good time. I looked throughout the crowd and I saw a lot of happy Christians, victorious Christians, and I seen some pain and some confusion and some heartache. You know what I did? I sit down and put a little list together of some of the people that I know would have loved to have been at the picnic, but because of some reversals in life, they could not. Some that just had to work because of financial struggles. Others who would have said, I would have loved to have been out there, Brother Owens, but I could not breathe in the humidity. Others whose fear would have been getting from the car to the pavilion because age has crept up on them and their gray head had a desire to be a part of the fun, but their body would not allow it to happen. And I thought, what an admirable group of people. Do you know that the Bible teaches that there is a proper way to suffer? Even a propriety in regard to a Christian and their suffering. I read to you again the passage of Scripture we shared earlier. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are the partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now the author of this book is Peter. And so you know, the theme of 1 Peter is really a theme of victory over suffering. Life's journey includes suffering. I wish it did not. But I have to tell you the truth, folks. As long as we're alive, there will be times of suffering. When Peter mentions here in verse number 12, he uses the term fiery trials. Let me tell you about what was happening in history at this time. And probably the reason Peter used those words, fiery trials, and I'll tell you what was happening. There was an emperor by the name of Nero. Nero hated the Christians. He was an enemy to the Christians. Nero had a beautiful complex of gardens, and I'm talking about outdoor gardens and shrubs and flowers, and they were just gorgeous, and I'm talking about acres of these things. And Nero would host drunken parties. Let me tell you what he did to the Christians. He had sunk poles into the ground. I'm talking about like a telephone pole. They would sharpen the tip top of that telephone pole. They would take a Christian and set a Christian on that sharpened pole and then impale their body with that pole. They would pour hot tar over the body. And when Nero was having his drunken parties in his palace, they would light that Christian on fire so that it was like a human torch. So the people that were partying with Nero could look out the back of his palace and see his gardens by night. Human candles. Torches of torture. While they party, there was a human being that was a born-again Christian that was both impaled, dipped in tar, and used like a human candle to light the drunken party. Now you know why Peter said, now don't you let the fiery trials keep you from serving your God, because that is what was happening at the time that this passage of Scripture was written. Peter says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice? What, God? Do you know what you're talking about? Oh, yes. Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about because he suffered like no man, and that's why it's followed. It says that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. You do understand how he suffered for you. Jesus suffered like no man ever. He came from the perfect heaven to a sin-cursed world where he was rejected and abused. He was born in a stable, not a palatial palace. He was born and he suffered. He was hated upon arrival. They lied about him, falsely accused him, spat upon him, beat him with staves or sticks. He was locked up with murderers. His beard was plucked. A crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. They nailed him to a cross. When he said, I thirst, they gave him vinegar to drink. They stripped him of his clothing, stabbed him with a spear, and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And I must say to you, if you're born again here today, that if you would like to be like him, and that ought to be your goal, if you'd like to be like him, then you will experience suffering because he was what he was because of some of that suffering. And the Bible says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. I wish I could tell you today, folks, that life is always going to be the berries. It's always going to be hunky-dory, but I'm sorry, that's not the case. There'll be some suffering along the way. But thank God he loved us enough to even give us instruction about how to suffer. First Peter is a book to help us suffer correctly. Hey folks, you're not just to suffer. Don't just suffer. That is a waste of your suffering. There is a proper purpose and a proper way to suffer. Do you know that I looked through the book of 1 Peter and 16 times in those, I think, five little chapters you find the word suffer or suffering? I would like for you to be like him. And I need to be honest with you. As a born-again Christian, we're all going to do some suffering. Let me help you today. And again, our church is an exciting place. It's a bubbly place. We have a lot of fun around here. But just in case you've recently come to our church, let me tell you something. The fun and the excitement and the joy and what a spirit this church has. I mean, when you walk in, it's like this all the time. There's a spirit of acceptance and a family atmosphere here. But let me tell you what really makes it great. That spirit of excitement and joy and fun, it's here even though in this place there are broken hearts and suffering. And I'm so proud of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that as we are partakers of His suffering, we've not let it steal our joy. We've not let it steal the family atmosphere of our church, and let's never let it happen. Let's never let the depression that comes with some suffering overtake us to the point that the outside world wouldn't come in here and wouldn't want what we have. Look, folks, we wanted to come here and want what we have. You say, what do we have? We have the peace of knowing that the God of the universe is our God, and He saved us, and we're on our way to heaven. There'll be some suffering along the way, but it's nothing compared to the glory that we'll have someday. I want to help you with it today. First of all, let me say, suffering assures us that we're God's children. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I don't want you to turn to it for the sake of time, but let me read it to you again. You read it a moment ago. The Bible says this. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, don't you ever get this idea that suffering means you're not saved. Suffering's more apt to say that you are saved. Here the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. You listen to me. If there was one day when you realized you were a sinner, that's what the Bible teaches, and you realized there was a penalty for your sin, that is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. And if one day you realized that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and if that day you turned to Jesus Christ and said, I know I'm a sinner, I know there's a penalty for my sin, I know that I can't save myself, but you do the saving, I'm receiving you as my Savior, and you ask Him to come into your heart, be your Savior, forgive you of your sin. Let me tell you something, folks, then you're born again, you're saved, it's all cared for. Don't you love the fact that some suffering comes in your life, make you think that you're not the child of God? It is more apt to say that you are the child of God. Why? We are partakers of His suffering. Why? By the faith that we have put into Him. Away with this health and wealth preaching. People say, get saved and all your problems will go away. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible's teaching here. Get saved and you'll never suffer again. That is not a scriptural truth. And somebody needs to turn the television off and get in the right kind of church where they'll preach to you the truth of the Word of God. All they're trying to do is get you to send your money in, your seed money, for their program. Hey, when you get saved, it does not mean all suffering's over with. Matter of fact, there might be just a touch of suffering you must face as you associate with the suffering one of the cross of Calvary. All suffering goes away when you get saved. That is not true. Somebody better tell that to the Apostle Peter. Who, because of Peter's stand, if you knew history, Peter was crucified upside down in the latter years of his life. You say, why upside down? Because Peter said, I love my Lord and I'm willing to be crucified, but do me a favor, fellas, when you torture me, don't let me be crucified the same way Jesus did. That's an honored position. You crucify me upside down, but I'm willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. I don't doubt that Peter was saved. Yes, he was born again. He was saved, but there was some suffering. Tell John, who wrote the books of the Bible and penned for us the fact that he had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his stand for God and boiled in hot oil. He said, well, John wasn't saved. You're full of prunes. Of course he was saved. Suffering does not say that you're not a child of God. It is more apt to say that you are. Look at the Apostle Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. You say, well, suffering's a picture of not being right with God. It is. You have just slapped my Savior in the face. Because He suffered as no man suffered. These people that pass judgment on another and say they're suffering because they're not right with God. Let me tell you something. If that were true, no human being would know that were true. Only God knows why someone's suffering. I do not like that. Well, I'll tell you why they're going through that. God is trying to kill them. That's up to God. None of your business. And what you're supposed to do is to pray for them and give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, God does chasten His own. Matter of fact, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If suffering comes, it could come for a variety of reasons. But let's say that someone has misbehaved. God, He spanks His own children. What a glorious thing! It ought to say to you, I'm saved. God cares enough to spank me. You know something? I don't spank Brother Bush's kids. I spank my own. I used to spank them a lot. Guess who spanks God's kids? God does. But when I spank my children, I didn't kick them out of the family for doing wrong. My son's name is Joshua Owens, even if he needed to spank him somewhere along the way. Somehow we associate suffering with God giving up on us, and that is not true. That means God still loves you. He's still working on you. And not all suffering is a discipline measure. Sometimes suffering is there for another reason. I'll show that to you in a moment. Hey, let me warn you. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange that some fiery trials have come upon you. Hey, new Christian, we've got a lot of people that have recently been born again. And you got saved, you started to get into church, and you say, boy, the minute I got saved, I had some things go sour in my life. Think it not strange. The devil, he would like to trip you up. He'd like to get you discouraged. Don't let a little suffering shock you. That's why Peter said, think it not strange that some fiery trials have come upon you. Hey, person, getting all fired up for God. Hey, person, changing your life for God. Hey, Christian, you're really getting with it and you're starting to come to church on a regular basis and change the way you walk and talk and behave. And suddenly, the devil threw a curveball at you and some things started falling apart. The car broke down. You didn't have enough money to pay a bill. And don't you for a moment think that that's bad news. That might just be good news. The devil's trying to stop you because he knows you're about to do something great for God. I say to you, suffering assures us that we're God's child. Don't let your suffering steal from you the joy and the victory of the salvation that you can never lose. He paid for it. He bought it. Paid in full. It has nothing to do with you. After He saved you, you're saved. Now, what kind of life you live has something to do with how much suffering. Because some of your suffering is self-inflicted by rejecting the life you should live after salvation. Suffering is more apt to be a sign of sonship than not. Number two, suffering is a part of God's will. Listen to this verse, 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Suffering according to the will of God. Folks, suffering refines us. It refines us. Suffering will help to remove impurities. See, you're like a piece of wood. And God will take that piece of wood and He'll take the pocket knife of suffering and He'll whittle something real nice out of your life if you let Him. Now, suffering is not the only tool that God uses to mold us, but I'm going to guarantee you some of the suffering that you go through is God trying to mold you in His image because you are to be a partaker of His sufferings. And He is what He is because of His suffering. And you will be what He planned for you to be because of the blessing of suffering. He said, I thought it was a curse, not according to the Bible. He said, do I have to like it? No, you don't have to like it. But you ought to submit to it. Don't ask for suffering. But when it comes, accept it and behave yourself like a born-again Christian. Some of you have suffered a lot of heartache. Some of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was life-inflicted. God allowed it. Why? To help you to step up in your Christian life. Whether you brought the suffering on by your disobedience to His Word, or if it just came in life, you were obeying God and doing right, and some suffering came your way. I'll promise you, its purpose is that He wanted to take that suffering and mold you in His image. He wanted to take the pocket knife of suffering and whittle a beautiful, beautiful statue out of your life. It was a part of God's will. That's what the Bible says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Suffering is a part of the will of God for our lives. Don't waste your suffering, folks. Be better because of suffering, not bitter because of suffering. There are people in this building, you are bitter because of some suffering you went through, and you are wasting your suffering. The whole purpose was for God to take that suffering and to mold you into a happy Christian. And you've let it sour your life. He wasn't trying to do something to you. He was trying to do something for you. And let me guarantee you, God knows better for your life than you'll ever know. You say, I don't understand Him. That's why He is God. Yeah. Suffering. Suffering is a blonde that bought an AM radio and it took her 2 weeks to figure out you could play it at night. Suffering. There's a lady that recently has come to our church. She has cancer, but in remission. And in a matter of a few months, she lost her hubby to death, and her mother, and a sister, and other struggles. And to that lady, I say to you, let me tell you something. That is God molding your life. That is a loving God that knows something that you don't know. And no, I cannot explain it to you, but I can guarantee you one thing. My God loves you. You keep your chin up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get the idea. It's not worthwhile. God's doing something big in your life. I promise you. You see, because suffering is a part of the will of God. Suffering. Hey, number three, suffering will make us enjoy Christ's appearing more. Suffering will cause us to enjoy the second coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There it is. There's coming a day when Jesus is coming back to this earth. There's coming a day when He's going to bust through the clouds of glory, and He's going to take everybody that's born again out of this old sin-cursed, messed-up world. And when we get to heaven, things are going to get real good real quick. Because everything's all right in my Father's house. Hey, suffering one, let me tell you something. We're not going to be down here forever. There's coming a day when Jesus is coming again. And when we go up in the clouds to be with Him forever in the air, all the suffering is getting left behind. We're going to fly off into glory. And let me tell you something. When He comes back and He gets us and He takes us to heaven, that suffering is going to be glorious at His appearing. You say, why? Well, you see, suffering will stop when He comes. I tell you something I can't wait for. I'm going to tell you the primary reason I can't wait to get to heaven. Brother Smith, I'm tired of disappointing the Lord. You ever get tired of letting Him down? I try hard. I try so hard. God knows, I want to live my life according to the Bible. I don't want to hurt the work. But when I get to heaven, Brother Smith, I won't be able to do wrong anymore. And I don't want to hurt my Savior. Oh, isn't it going to be great? When we get there, the suffering that is caused by our disobedience, it'll never be there again. I was preaching down in Richmond, Virginia, and a couple preachers were there, and they asked me if I would talk to them for a little while. And in private, I began to counsel them and talk a little bit. And they told me, one said, I've got this problem in my church. And another said, for the ones I'm struggling with this problem in my church. And I told them, I said, fellas, let me give you some good news. There's coming a day when those problems will stop. I said, there's coming a day when Jesus will come again and every problem in the church will stop. He said, do you think it'll stop the gossip in my church? I said, it will, because when we get to heaven, those gossips won't gossip in heaven, I said, if they even make it. And they both got a chuckle out of that. Brother Frank, when you get to heaven, no wheelchair, buddy. And let me tell you something. When that fellow right there gets to heaven, I'm wondering if heaven isn't going to be a little better for him than for those of you that can stand up straight. Standing up straight is going to mean something to him. You've stood up straight all your life. He's had a crippling back problem. But Brother Frank, let me tell you something. You're suffering right now, and it's just a short time. But when Jesus comes back and gets us and takes us out of this mess, you're going to have the straightest back in all of heaven. And I've got a feeling a straight back will mean more to a suffering Frank Shepherd than to those of us that have it all the time. You see, suffering is a glorious thing in the big picture of God. Mary Vest, usually sitting right back here. She can't breathe well. Mary struggles because of emphysema. In heaven, when Jesus comes to get us, the moment Mary steps into heaven, she'll take a great big old suck of air. She'll say, wow,
I've never smelled air so pure. I've never smelled air so clean. Wow, the air up here is fantastic. Now, to those of us that breathe every day with no suffering, it might not taste as good when we get to heaven, but to Mary, her suffering has earned her a right of a level of expectation and a level of joy in heaven that others may not get to enjoy. So let me tell you all something. Those of you that are suffering, boy, is heaven going to be good for you. Brother Parkinson will have his arm back. Brother Sweeney will have his hand back. Brother Jeff, our deaf man back here that I love dearly, when he gets to heaven and he hears the angels sing, oh boy, let me tell you what heaven's going to be like for him. He's going to sit on the front row. He's going to have his hands like this. He's going to be twisting on his ears. He's going to be saying, I can hear it. I can hear it. Now I know why people laugh when Brother Nash sang. Paul and Jerry Mongan, no more disease. You have a sick child. I'm sorry, but your baby's not going to be sick in heaven. Suffering for now, but it's going to come to an end. He's coming back. Trust Him. Get your chin up. It's just for a short time. You see, suffering is more apt to prove sonship than to disprove it. Suffering is a part of the will of God, and suffering, it'll make us enjoy His appearing more. Hey, number four, Christ is glorified when the believer suffers properly. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, is God being glorified in the way you're suffering? If not, you're not doing it right. Listen, don't advertise your suffering so that you can get pity. God never intended that. You ever found the kind of person, if you ask them how it's going, they tell you, and you regret knowing? How's it going?
Oh, I don't know what more could go wrong.
And I'm thinking,
I'm sorry I asked.
You've met him. Don't advertise suffering for the sake of getting pity. Get a smile on your face. Hey, do the best that you can with it. We're human. We'll struggle. But I'll tell you something. Some of you, you almost live in self-pity with your suffering. Aren't you learning something? You're a partaker of the suffering of Jesus Christ. God has honored you. He felt like you wanted to be like Jesus Christ. He's given you the opportunity to suffer as a Christian. He is to be glorified in your suffering. Keep your composure. Let us see the Jesus that is in you. Say, how do you figure? Because as they nailed Him on a cross, the Bible says, like a lamb to the slaughter, He spake not a word. He said, I'm not only going to tell you to suffer properly, I'm going to show you how to do it. And He said, as He hung there, Father, forgive them. He wasn't hateful because of His suffering. It caused Him to love even more. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is Marlene Evans, a friend of mine that's in heaven today, wrote a book called Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. She said, that cancer is my enemy. It'll make me suffer, but I will let that suffering turn into something great. I will not suffer and waste it while I just suffer. I'm going to look for the reason, and I'm going to do something with my suffering. Then she used to teach a little lesson. She called it, I'm going to live until I die. You know what she was saying? Oh, the disease might rack my body and get me down, but I'll tell you something I'm going to do every moment of every day. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to chew my food. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to be good to my friends. I will not let the suffering of this present ruin me. I want God glorified in my suffering. I was thinking of Claire Crabb, Mrs. Crabb here. I've watched her as she's gone through her chemo treatments. I've watched her as she suffered. She just keeps on going for God, has that smile on her face. What a gracious lady. What a good lady. A good attitude, a good spirit, a good example. Brother Jerry Lowther. The only reason Brother Lowther's not here in this service today, he's probably homesick. Brother Lowther has MS. Well, let me tell you something. I'm talking about a man that has MS. When he wakes up in the morning, his body won't move at all. I don't know if you know that. His body won't move at all. He'd have to lay in bed for 6 to 7 hours before his body kicks into gear. It's like having a burnout clutch. And he'll lay there and he'll want to move and he'll want to get out of bed and he'll want to come to church, but he can't. But I'll guarantee you with every last nickel I have that when you see Jerry Lowther, he's got a smile on his face. He's one of the most encouraging people you ever met in your life. Why? He wants God glorified in his suffering. You look at him. You watch him. And he doesn't make up excuses for not coming to church. He begs God that he would have the energy to walk to church. And you have two good legs. We got to beg you to come. You know what suffering is? Suffering is giving a blonde a bag of M&Ms and asking her to alphabetize it. That's suffering. I walked by a nursery today and a blonde-haired gal was sitting in that nursery with a big old smile on her face, taking care of a little baby. That lady's name is Lucinda Hauser. I walked by there and there was a big old smile on Lucinda's face. I walked through the hallway down here, looked at a bunch of people. I don't think we'd get them to smile if we had a crane to lift their upper lip. And Lucinda Hauser, not many years ago, her and her children were in a terrible automobile accident in which they all could have been killed. And then, not long ago, she was out at her home, I think out in Hedgesville area, and she was getting ready to mow her yard. And the mower blew up and burned her house down. She lost all of her furniture. She lost all of her clothes. She lost everything but the life of her children. And I watched her up there smiling to beat the band, one of the happiest ladies you've ever met in your life. And then I looked at you, and you didn't have a fire, and you won't smile and you don't care. You're misusing your suffering. What a testimony. What a testimony. Suffering the right way. Number five, our fellowship with God is greater when we suffer. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." You know something? Your suffering will bring you closer to God. Suffering reminds us of how much we need Him. If some of you never suffered, you'd never run to your heavenly daddy. You ignore Him. Those of you that have the good life, let me tell you something. Some of you have no time for God at all. You got everything. You got your health. You got a job. You seem to have everything except for a relationship with God. You know what you really need? You probably need a little suffering in your life to remind you that the goodness of God has been shed upon you. Because so often suffering brings us close to God because we realize the necessity of God in our life. Some of you can thank God you have suffered because it is that very suffering that's brought you close to Jesus Christ. You would have never had the relationship you have with Him had it not been for the suffering that you've been through. Mrs. Kane, your cancer, the lupus, the wonder, how long will I have my health? You would not love Him as much if you had not suffered. The Bible even says here, it talks about the just suffering for the unjust. I'm not glad that you suffer, folks. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was just. He was holy. He suffered for you and I. We're unholy. That is the just suffering for the unjust. And some of you are just going to have to learn something. As you go along the way, some of you are going to suffer because of somebody else. You say, that's not fair. Makes you like Jesus Christ, though. Because He suffered for the unjust. Hey, husband that misbehaves and runs from God, your wife and kids are going to suffer because of you. But wife and kids, I want you to stop and realize something. That is the unjust
suffering with the just or the just suffering with the unjust. That's what Jesus went through. Hey, husband and children, whose wife is living in a rebellious state, you may see some judgment in that family or some discipline. Let me tell you something. Don't get all mad because you go through a little suffering. Jesus suffered the just for the unjust. Children that suffer because of parents or parents that suffer because of children. Let it get you close to God. That's the whole purpose. Don't waste your suffering because suffering will build your fellowship with God to a higher degree. To be very honest, I happen to believe this. I think the more you suffer, the more God believes you can do for Him. He is therefore giving you the opportunity to become something great. You'll either fight it and waste it, or capitalize on it and become what God created you to become. Suffering is virtually a compliment by God to you. Because He thinks you have something big to offer and He needs to mold it and use it. So our fellowship with God is greater because of suffering. Number six, hey, it's better to suffer for God than for evil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Folks, let me tell you something. You're going to be persecuted just like every other Christian that ever really got on fire and did anything for God. You look all the way through the Bible, and there were people persecuted, and they suffered because they lived for God. You're just going to have to accept it. There's no way out of it. Now, you can be persecuted for doing right, or you can suffer for doing wrong, because you're going to suffer. Pick which one you prefer. I was going to the Winchester Community High School. I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. And it is a privilege to go to a Christian school. I went to the public school. I carried my Bible every day. Every young person that's not in the Christian school, you got to carry your Bible to school every day. They cannot stop you from bringing your Bible to school. I carried my Bible every day. There's a group of boys that just couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand the fact that I carried my Bible. I was on my way into a geography class one day, and five guys met me. They said, "You're not taking that book into that class." I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "You are not." I said, "This is my Bible. I'm taking it into class, and you have no say-so about it." One of them pushed me, one of them hit me, and all five of them attacked me. I said, "What'd you do?" "I fought." "You say, how?" "I fought to get on my feet and run." Wasn't long till the teachers came and broke it all up, put my Bible back on top of my books, and I walked into that class with my Bible in my hands. And I would much rather suffer for standing for God than to suffer because I slept with somebody else's wife. But you're going to suffer. You can either suffer for your well-doing or suffer for your evil-doing, but everybody's going to suffer. You say, "Brother Owen, if I start living for God, I'll have to put up with some criticism. I'll have to put up with some people that will be hard on me." Yes, but they will not be as hard on you as the crowd you run with will be when they stab you in the back for not serving God. You're going to suffer. I chose to suffer with Him rather than without Him. Everybody's going to suffer. You choose for what? There is relationship sufferings. You're going to go through it. Life is a series of relationships, and you all know it. What hurts us the most when it comes to suffering? It's when we suffer between other humans. Hurt feelings, betrayals, disloyalties. Well, let me tell you something. You can either get yourself right with God and into church while you're suffering, or you can stay out there in the world away from God while you're suffering. But I would dead sure rather suffer with my relationship in a church where I had a preacher that loved me, in a church where I had the Word of God, in a church where I had the peace of God, than to suffer out there in the world where there is not a preacher for you, where there is not a daily dose of the Word of God. Hey, you pick where you want to suffer. I pick where I want to suffer. I want to suffer right here with some people that love me, that happen to know we're all humans, and we're on a journey to heaven, and it's a tough journey. But when I fall, they'll be there to help pick me up instead of stomp on me and kick me in the backside on the way out like your friends will out in the world. But you're going to suffer in your relationships any way you look at it. Hey, suffering helps to cleanse a Christian. 1 Peter 4:1 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What's it talking about? Now you remember, all suffering is not due to discipline of God. But when you sin, it will cause suffering. You say, is he trying to kill me? No. He's trying to help you. When you are disciplined for your wrong, it keeps you from doing the wrong again. Why? Because wrong brings suffering. That's the whole purpose in the rearing of our kids. We discipline when they do wrong. You say, why? Because we just want to beat the kids? No, knucklehead. We're doing it because wrong brings hurt, and we don't want them to suffer hurt. So we're trying to lead them away from doing wrong. Why? They're going to get hurt. That's what it's all about. And the Bible says here that suffering helps to cleanse us from our sin. When you sin, it causes suffering. When you sin, it causes your suffering. When you sin, it causes God's suffering. When you sin, it causes others, your wife, your kids, your hubby, your church. But suffering should not cause you to run from God. It should cause you to run from sin. We suffer for our sins. Do you know that even the suffering we go through is God loving us? I disciplined my child because I love my child and I didn't want them to get into further hurt. And God loves you, His child, and He disciplines you when you're misbehaving. He does not kick you out of the family. Away with that heresy and false doctrine. He does not kick you out of the family. He loves you and He spanks you because He knows on the horizon is another heartache if you keep going down the path that's crooked. And He spanks you to get you back on the path because He loves you. I spank my children because I love my children. And the Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mama's going to suffer if she won't discipline her kids. Dad's going to suffer if they won't discipline their kids. You should thank God for suffering. It might have saved your life. Some suffering saved your life. Some suffering saved your child's life. Some suffering saved your marriage. Some suffering, hey, it saved your testimony. It saved your usefulness for God. Why? Because you suffered for your wrong. As a result of it, you turned from your wrong, and it saved the future destruction of your marriage. You were fighting the suffering instead of letting the suffering be a tool and a guide and a help to you. Hey, suffering gives us a chance to testify. It helps us to associate with others. That's why Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered so He could say, I have been through whatever you're going through. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, I have experience. I understand you. He said, we have not a high priest. He's not been tempted in every area. You see, He went through what you're going through. He suffered. He did it right. And He is able to associate with you and help you. Now, let me tell you something. If you are suffering, if you're in this massive sea of faces today, and behind that smiling face are tears and heartache and heartbreak and wounded dreams, let me tell you something. Your suffering is to help you to associate with somebody else who's been suffering. You're there to help. And if you stop spending all your time having a pity party, feeling sorry for yourself, and rise up and say, I'm not going to waste this suffering. I'm going to figure out what Jesus wants me to do with it. Why did He suffer, Brother Ewan? He suffered for me and for you. And why are you suffering? You're suffering for the cause of Christ. You're suffering for your kids. You're suffering for somebody else. Stop looking at it, feeling sorry for yourself, whining and moaning and groaning, and get on top of that thing and decide, I'm going to get something out of this. I'm not going to waste my suffering. I'm thinking of my wife. My wife lost her daddy when she was 16 years of age. And then one of her cousins that she grew up with, lived in the same household, just like a sister, killed in a drunk driving accident in the same year. Since we've been here, my sister-in-law got cancer. That's my wife's sister-in-law, Nancy. Then her husband, my wife's brother, got cancer, same time. First of all, they opened his chest with chest cancer. No sooner got it cleared up, they split his head open to find brain cancer. Her mother had a stroke, lost use of an arm and a leg, paralyzed. Then her sister-in-law died. And a couple months later, her brother died. And then they wheeled her mama in and took one of her legs off due to her sugar diabetes and infection in her leg. You ever seen the woman? Got a smile on her face. Keeps on serving God. Did it stop her? Don't you think maybe the devil was coming to my family after we got here and said, I'm going to stop you. We're going to stop the revival at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We're going to stop you from serving God. I'll go through your wife. I'll try to get her down. I'll get her spirit down. I'll rob her joy. But thank God the woman stood up, put her chin up and said, I'm going to take this and I'm not going to let it rob this church of a revival. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get sour. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to be vengeful. I'm not going to hate. I am going to suffer like the dignity of a lady whose husband is a preacher of the gospel, and I'm not going to let this stop me. How you doing? Don't waste your suffering, folks. Suffer according to the Bible. Suffer right. Lady I know, her name is Renee. Renee lost a baby to a miscarriage, and then another, and another, and another, I think, honey, six, maybe, seven, five. And when I'm preaching, we always go up with numbers, not down. All right, five. She lost five babies to miscarriages, one after another. Her body would not allow her to carry the baby. She'd lose one. I'd watch her climb back up, get her spirit back up. They'd try again. Then I watched her do something. I watched every time she'd hear of a lady in the congregation of the church where we were. Every time a lady would lose a baby to miscarriage, Renee would run to their aid. She would love them. She would help them. She would comfort them. She would be there with them. There's somebody that took their suffering and said, God wants me to get something out of this. I'm not just going to suffer here. I'm not just going to sit here and suffer. I'm going to go help somebody. I'll take my suffering. I'll do with it what Jesus Christ did with it. I'll help somebody. Hey, parent with a handicapped child, a child with a learning disability, you're suffering, it's heavy on your heart. If I were you, every time someone walked into this church and you seen a child tagging behind them that had a disability, you ought to run to them and love them. Say, come on into this church. We're going to love you. We're going to help you. Hey gal, hey widow, you've lost your hubby prematurely. He's gone. You ought to make a ministry of it. Every time some lady loses her husband to death, you ought to run to her and love her and help her. Hey person that's suffering, and I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm going to tell you something. God did not allow it just to see it happen. God allowed it because there is a ministry for you, and you are to be a partaker of the sufferings of your Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. I don't want you to suffer in hell. You see, the Bible says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so was the Son of Man in the center of the earth. You see, someone's already taken care of that suffering for you. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, it would be a sad thing for you to suffer in this life and die and go to hell and suffer in the next. You're going to suffer in this life. Let me give you the best news you've ever heard. You're all going to suffer in this life, but if you're not born again, if you'll get saved, this life is short, it'll end, and you'll go up to glory, and there'll be no more suffering. But I would hate to think that you would be silly enough to suffer all the way through this life, reject Jesus Christ, and suffer through the next one in hell. I've had all the suffering I want. If it comes my way, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it as graciously as I know how. God knows, I don't need any more. But if it comes my way, I'm going to take it. But I'm so glad I'm born again. I'm saved. Because suffering stops the day that heaven starts. And we're going to live there far longer than we live here. There is a biblical way to suffer. And Brother Young, I watched everybody at the picnic. Playing on the moonwalk. Having a good time, snow cones, but I want you all to know, I also looked and I said, Lord, they're trying really hard. What a good attitude. Because there is a sea of faces having fun, and behind those faces are a sea of hearts that are broken and hurt and suffering. Those were my thoughts yesterday at the picnic. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.